I wanna preempt this by saying I'm grand. There's nothing wrong. It's very intense.
That could mean anything.
I am lonely. Not needy or desperate, looking for respite from the click, click, click of repeating sick, sick, sick thoughts. Not expressing desires for an extension of your attention. Not lamenting lost loves listed listlessly over and over and over again. Not needing pity or validation from strangers, but in rumination of why. And that's fucking hard to say. Because loneliness isn't represented by the number of social circles compressed into a repressed text message box, phone rocks, or group chat chatter, matter at hand land, mainly on the topics of superficial remissions of troubled minds, or the entwining of limbs, hand freezing over skins unknown, living the sin, loving the wind as you breathe down my neck. Loneliness isn't solved by socialization, sitting at your station as animation of your movements developed to near elation and crash like a car smashed into a wall when the bar clicks on, off, last call. But instead having access. Access to a community in tune with me and my aspirations and desires and I with theirs. Access to someone who knows I know cares when I don't care about myself. Access to friends who take shelved passions and delve into dreams and make shit happen. Access to someone to offload thoughts I hold private for fear of their intensity, the immensity, minuscule or massive, knowing that I have the option to let loose or be passive. But I don't feel like I have that. So I look for replacement therapy to allow feelings of calmer humanity, with hope stroked by ego, choked by reality, enveloped by my insecurity. And first I look to the past, the last time I had it. I think of past moments of devotion, entertaining notions that the emotion that I felt then was a progression of self and not a regression of my mental health. Fail to acknowledge that my own growth slowed since that first kiss, reminisce through rose and rinse my memory, inorganic thoughts influenced and implanted by actions of others and wince at the status updates of my former lover. And then I look at the present. Anyone, can anyone hear me? I exist! Like this, like that, not static but erratic in color, take cover, cause today I'm gonna fucking blow. And I know, I need you selfishly, helplessly in need. Talk shite about self-love, I'll be fine if I shove this feeling down and drown it out by increasing the frequency of electrical activity in my brain, knowing I'll feel the same when I wake, unable to shake the fact that I shook shit up again. And then, the future. I won't feel this way in Argentina or Tibet, no regrets, leaving certainty behind, thoughts align as I find myself. And beyond that, a cottage in the wind, two dogs carving logs into furniture, no financial strain, regain composure as an unknown here. Wife, kids, no bad days, no feeling strange, all sorted. Finally. And for a while, you'd almost believe it. But put opportunity in my path and I'll step all over it until I destroy the fabric that held it together, such is human nature. So remember, I know these feelings aren't forever. But they are valid, not less or more valid because they're written in verse, rehearsed, immersed in performance. Ignore this in me and see it in yourselves.
This is about Cork getting ready for the Year of Culture. So it started with her streets being pulled up in about 2002. It's called Major Operation. When faced with the need to branch out, Cork was not slow to respond. Now it's not just the seagull's cry that echoes above her streets, but the blend of foreign tongues from Europe and beyond. In the early noughties, streets were ripped apart, a warren of joints and ducts, outmoded, overloaded, no longer served a city inching towards decay. Her mangled underbelly was exposed and on display. Her spleen had ruptured, lymph drainage halted, her arteries were clogged. Engineers in high-vis jackets became surgeons in hard hats, tunneling through clotted earth to poke and prod her bowels. They wedged in plastic culverts to ease her growing girth, increase the bone diameter of her large intestine, sluicing out the dregs. Citizens had to pick their way over drains and trenches, afraid Cork might not be ready as the time drew near to be European culture capital of the year. Because of such intensive care, she ended up on track. With her circulation moving, she got her mojo back.
Thanks a lot, Mary. I need to have your mojo back. We have Caroline Gould next to you.
Four or five of these words might sound kind of familiar. She didn't get up earlier. Okay. In the east I rise, weather system acclimatized. Nothing could shift my compass west, except for you who can somehow polarize my worst into my best. Navigating the estuaries in this current stream of play, as I click ball change away from this ferocious tarantella dance into something cooler, deeper, calmer, a room for romance. The shallow stream in which I thread pays tribute to a facet in me once feather turned lead. As I signal across this new wave of blue, I float peacefully and still on the olive branch you threw.
How are you, lads?
Grand, brother.
Thanks, man.
All right, are you?
What's the crack?
You all.
Thanks. So I wrote this as a celebration of being a country who likes to rap. In hip-hop, there's a lot of talk about truth and realness. And got me thinking about what is truth and what is realness. And they say keep it real a lot. And then in Ireland, there is a divide between who's keeping it real and who isn't. So the discussion is between accent. What accent do you use when you rap? And if you use the American accent, then you're not really liked much by the people who use their own accent because you're considered fake. Which is why a lot of rappers wouldn't like Iggy Azalea, because she's Australian using a black American accent. And it's like she's making a mockery of it. So, being a country man who likes to rap, I was like, I need to find a way I feel comfortable being a country man who likes to rap. You know? So, I gotta express who I am, and I have to enjoy it. Sorry. I need to explain stuff, like. No, I personally do, it's what I do, like.
Get on with it.
Anyway, I'm gonna wait now. Alright. It's B to the U to the BBA. Hitting you up, man, the old school way. How you caping? What's the crack? Are you able? Jesus, Bubba, do you sound like that? I don't pronounce my T's at all. Actually, it depends where it falls. If it's before a H, the words won't be great, cause I won't say them at all. Now, this, that, them, these, and those, that's the way the country TH goes. It gets all the pures out of their clothes, and when I say, well, everyone knows it means hello. ask me how am I keeping. I won't say it well back, I'll do the head thing. Tell all the owl fellas when you see him that Bubba said there's a grand stretch in the evening. Well, how you getting on today? We're all just tipping away. Do you like this? Jesus, lad, tis the finest. Tipping away, tipping away, tipping away now. Tipping away, tipping away, tipping away now. Tipping away, tipping away, tipping away now. Will you please clarify what you're trying to say? Because that could be anything, like tipping cows over at night, or telling a friend the horses win, or levying a charge from wasting up people's bins. Tipping away, tipping away, tipping away now. Tipping away, tipping away, tipping away now. Tipping away, tipping away, tipping away now. How you getting on, your creator? Are you tipping wares? Getting excited because you go for a spin downtown. You realise there's one street and no one's around. Rage. Nothing to do, no one to see. Sure, I'll go home and have a cup of tea. Yeah, we're not fighting boredom at all, because you're supping on a mug of scald. That's class. In the countryside, we do it like that. Drinking tea, drinking tea, drinking tea now. Drinking tea, drinking tea, drinking tea now. Drinking tea, drinking tea, drinking tea now. Smoking a load of fags all day. Rolling down the street, smoking Benson. Drinking loads of tea. Lay back with my mind on my hurley, on my hurley, on my mind. Thank you.
Hello. Nice one, Bubba. Rocking it. Charles Clark is next. You have to walk on through the middle.
That's a hard act to follow.
It's a hard act to follow, yeah.
No better man, yeah.
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 The great storm made a certain amount of noise too, and right, great storm. Butterfly on a lee shore, terraces of houses scooped up in the storm. It worked its wings furiously. I wonder, did it find a safe course?
Thanks, Shel. And Megan Cronin.
Right, so first, apologies for reading this from my phone, but sometimes I finish poems pretty last minute and I don't have time to write them out, and I'd rather pen and paper than to print them out. And sometimes I try to write what's on my mind, but I can't seem to find right words to say, or life just gets in the way, or you know, it's just that kind of day, or it's because I'm a Libra, I'm wearing decisive. Then sometimes I stutter when I mutter, my mind's so full of clutter, I stumble over words as I speak, and I try to say everything that I think. My mouth races, my mind paces, stringing together words and faces, there's so much I have to say, and I get really excited to share my ideas with the page about how I'm expected to write everything down in time when I can't even say the words right. And my mind gets faster and faster, and my speech gets faster and faster, my writing gets faster and faster, and then I get a pain on my wrist because I try to everything down, so I stop. And when I stop, I choke up, and my mind gets blocked, and I can't put anything in a sentence. But luckily, I didn't handwrite this, I typed it.
Thank you.
The title of this poem is called Funambulism, and for context, that is the technical term for a tightrope walkie. Weighted in each hand is a balance bowl, the centre of it, the centre of me. Shivers and shakes won't disrupt the seedings. Greater torque needed for my displacement. Foot falls on wire, propelling forward. I follow the path strung out before me. Long metal twists press the arch of my soul. Hands perspiring, balance bowl fallen. Inertia disturbed, centered mass edging. A fight to remain in control so high. Momentum retained, each foot now inching. A lonesome high wire feels like a skywalk. Perpendicular arms to offset sway.
I was in love once. It was juvenile and benign. Puberty under pretense of mature mannerisms, inundated with innocence yet carnivorous. Finding solace in each other's hormones, angst and inexperience. Unscathed curiosities, it ripened and dismantled. I was in love twice. Ebullient and ferocious, synchronized, explosive, whatever you want to call it. My leg would actually lift when we kissed. In autumn we shared, holding hands, 4 feet frisking in unison through the crunchy red and yellow fallen leaves of Dublin 6. That is, until he preemptively, in my opinion, called it quits. Winter, spring, summer, it took to recover. Remnants remained rancid, and I ruptured. I was in love a third time. Sentimental, safe, static. Seasons spent sensually sedated with films and elaborate dinners. His dependence gnawed at me like a serrated splinter. I'll be in love a fourth time, I hope. I imagine who they are now and what they'll be like. It's like a grandiose game of guess who, playing stoned and blindfolded. I ponder what pocket of the earth we'll partner. Insufficient of true intimacy, of that which intimidates me. I substitute the futures I feign with foreign bodies amidst the fog and folly anew. I get ahead of myself and exercise ego in the eyes of others. Fabricated fantasies of far-off fates, smoking on balconies, summer trips to Italy, remarkable reveries of romances that could be. But often in the morning, my fantasy fades to fickle pheromones, imitative intimacy infused with intoxicants, and the lust felt the night previous tastes more like ash and tummy ache, curdled with the Catholic guilt that I'm not accustomed to. Hindsight hollers that I accelerated advances hastily, and the intimacy I intended to instigate was merely improvised and immune to inducing the excitement encompassed in the inception of a real relationship that graduates to a comfort of navigated noses, grazes, gaity as kissing sounds score a daily soundtrack and vernacular, the inexplicable covalent bonding of consciousness. Coordinating chemicals and circumstance. I had a dream recently where I sat on my friend's lap and for whatever reason, he smelled the t-shirt I was wearing. And with that ethereal illusion lingered a phantom of the truest intimacy I have felt in some time.
Patricia Wells.
Thank you. Now, this is a poem about socialising, which is a bit trivial, but I'll do it anyway. It's called On Fool's Golden Shore. Overseeing danger today or tomorrow, watching body ways down in thoroughfare. Employed to correct splitability, God's own work. Now seek our tails and everyday security. Disregarding the large speakers, hitting on corners, supreme courtship. Dying to oneself, the only solution here. Socializing every night as started as this light. The wine glasses soar above your head, counting the blessings subjected to, switching off screens only purpose, displaying spirit level for design. Complicated perseverance colours a blank. Overhead try examination lights are doing. From their light to ours, advertising strange. Antiquated clocks chime ticking out. We don't need a falling out to be productive. Mere sunlight took care of that episode. Recycling experience is safety unnecessary. A prerogative sealed, quite more. Walking out of doors, feeding on misinformation. Once declared, that's it, savouring causes. Or whatever stands tall in the long necks. Or poisoning oneself with a good enough thing. Thank you.
Does your house dream? Your house is your larger body. It grows in the sun and sleeps in the stillness of the night. And it is not dreamless. Does your house dream? The Prophet by Cathal Gibbon. Maybe architects are deity poets that create extensions of their imaginations, dream new organs. The roads are sound lines, dream tracks, branches, roots, links, rivers that continuously grow with numerous ever new endpoints. As builders collaborate and build architects' abstract aims into forms, and it all under nightfall dreams, because electricians network it all into a looping circuit that glows the geography that you can view from the above atmosphere. Homes, shops, business blocks, cathedrals, museums, the tall, the small, the abandoned, and the habitable, they all glow like fireflies, and what should be the darkness, moonless midnights, our planet, instead, is on one face an alchemy emerald blue orb, facing the sun, and on the obverse side, a yellow electric dreaming circuit etched on its surface, a busy constellation that's living, breathing, alive, and dreaming, as humanity share coincidental and individual dreams within their architecture splendor.
Matthias.
Thanks. Yeah, a bit sad. A bit sad. I walk on a wet Cork street, lost in my thoughts, destroyed by my mind, and charming on again to the past. Feelings that I want to forget, tears that I want to dissolve. The river is asking me why I'm crying. The answer is more painful than a stone. I cannot live without the weight anymore. I felt free to destroy it. My arms will take your memories and throw them into the sky. The moon will be the silent witness, and the stars will blink more tonight. I look at the dark sky, and it's the rain that cleans my face. I smile, my tears has disappeared, and now they belongs to the past forever.
Thanks a lot. With Ben Burns next week.
Night beckons. Swans glide silently down river. White lights glisten on black water. The night beckons, shindigs and laughter. Church bells ring the city's innards. Cold, wet, unoccupied benches. Conversations decay in the air. Shiny taxis queue up in ranks. The night's potential, joy or despair. The moon glows behind a dark cloud. Kisses pull me choiceless as the tide that spits out whatever it sucks in with cold indifference.
Could we have this evening's five-word challenge winner?
Thank you. This poem is called The Northern Lights, and I have to reference Anne Sexton, you know, the poet, because it's based on her poem Starry, Starry Night. So, the Northern Lights. The sky is a flamenco dancer wearing poisonous green. Below the snow, unseen, the ground sings for her and her sparkling pleats. Every night is a ceremony. Oh, chartreuse skies, this is how I want to die. Panting from dancing, vapor follows her mouth, littering clouds that get brushed out by her face. Her castanets eat stars from the sky with each clack, then spews them back to outer space. Oh, chartreuse skies, this is how I want to die. Taken by that flamenco dancer in the sky, she will leave come morning without a text or goodbye. Oh, chartreuse skies, this is how I want to die.
Thanks so much. Your Grace Shresky, next please.
Tom was sad. Tom's dopamine receptors had betrayed him, shut down. Body was hopeless and numb. Brain was broken and absent of all signs of serotonin, desperate for dopamine. His heart had run off into the lake and drowned itself. Tom wanted to drown himself, but had promised me he wouldn't, and Tom kept his promises. Instead, Tom made plans to leave school, go piss in dirt holes, cry in hot rooms, extract his sadness from his blood and let it burn in the nowheres of Colorado, searching for happiness, or at least contentness. The night before his departure, we all climbed up to the roof where we sat, contemplated life, looked down at death loitering below just over the edge, said goodbye and retreated back into the night as he left the lake and us behind. 3 months later, Tom returned with 27 fewer pounds and only half of the sadness he once possessed. His first night back, the gang stumbled through town, sat down and looked at the empty words rotting between them, us. There was nothing left. They had changed and Tom was still sad.
Ali Bracken, next, please.
No. So last Thursday, the 2nd November, marked the centenary of the Balfour Declaration, which I'm sure many of us are aware of. This is the 3rd of November. 100 years on and change is still in question, torn between Heaney Dickinson, James Joyce and Derek Mann. For what reason have the funerals emigrated from my brain to the world, and why has the government of my tongue unfurled? Who are the mushrooms that are locked in our shed, where nobody cares about the living or the dead? Why can't we give up Ithaca and the furrows in its face? Don't worry, we are sand, washed without a trace. It feels like yesterday that the Dun Stores girls refused to stock Israeli product, and Google Maps still listed Palestine as a nation, not a construct. It feels like yesterday that the Greeks turned Babylon into Athens, and Enheddena into Homer, and Falsafa into Philosophos, and criticism into crime. It feels like yesterday that the singers said such things as, "Don't fight between a rock and a hard place. Don't turn life into a universal form of catch-22. Don't get so angry when the soldiers kill your brother and rape your mother. Don't run away now, we need you to fight. Don't forget about the big other that turns Zeus into Al-Shadi, into God, into Allah, into Das Übermensch. Don't forget that tools may change, but trends and iterations do not. So be ready, and don't forget to read every writer you love's enemy. Do not usurp your peace. If time is seasonal, where are we? But sing. It feels like yesterday today. It feels like yesterday."
Thank you, Ali. We have Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Oh, sorry, maybe I just...
Miss Red?
Yeah. Oh yeah, your A kind of goes on for a bit. Especially Nicola. Sorry. You can
in
introduce
France,
yourself.
In France, it would be pronounced the same.
Oh.
And I was reminded of that once by a French boy who laughed in my face. Anyway, I have to give a trigger warning just for this poem. I'm sorry that, for some people might want to brace themselves, the content warning is assault, basically. It's called Matryoshka. Sometimes, all it takes is a look. You go back in on yourself. A matryoshka for every event. Size, independent of proportion, a good way to measure self-esteem, nonetheless. Every woman has this list. Some things seem trivial. Your dad's business partner insisting on being kissed goodnight. You, 8 years old, in your nightie, wishing mom and dad would let you off the hook. Some things are bigger. The first time your boyfriend thrusts his burning penis in your hand. When he waits until you are drunk enough to teach you the ways of men. Pats you on the head afterwards. Calls you a good girl. It's not each moment on its own. It's the mise en scène of a whole lifetime, where events cup each other like chips in a tube. You go inward, strip layers down, to find that the kernel is a grain of rice, that one's whole life amounts to being a vessel for a tinier, neater version of oneself, that one's whole life can be measured by the hands of men.
I was watching the news tonight and there was an article about the anniversary of Enniskillen, which I had thought was about 10 years ago, and they said it was 29 years ago today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some time ago I wrote a poem about it. What was his name? Gordon Wilson, the father of the girl. He spoke about bombing a couple of days later on television. And it was just it's gone down in history. It's been poetry, really. So I took some of his words and I made this up. Last words in Enniskillen. Hold my hand before I go. It's a villanelle. And I think Paul Case thinks I can't write anything else but villanelle. Hold my hand before I go, then I know our love will fuse to feed my heart. God is good and we shall meet again. But now I know there has to be a plan, another place again where we can start. So hold my hand before I go. Then look for a purpose. There will not be one, like there is in beauty and in all art. And God is good and we shall meet again. I bear no ill will, but look around and scan the broken bodies and lives torn apart. Now hold my hand before I go. Then we will meet in heaven without pain. It's all gone now. I don't feel a dart. God is good and we shall meet again. You are my sweet lass, and there's no part for me to bear a grudge, so be alert and hold my hand before I go. Then God's good and we shall meet again.
We have Julie Aldridge.
Contrast after the last one. La donna mobile. The woman has a smartphone. Essential accessory, object of desire. Familiar factotum, a 4G phone. Narcissistic, indulgent, malignant. Promise of phony connectivity. At all times and in all places. Mislaid often, misbegotten. Mobile office in your genes. Status signifier. Ultimate bribe for young people who subscribe to dreams of empowerment, seek autonomy and freedom from conformity of gig economy, a non-reflecting mirror. You're never alone with a mobile phone. The native technophile consults the god of Google oftentimes, opines on Twitter, WhatsApp, Facebook, whereas your baby or house sitter is incommunicado, fixated on Netflix. Left to our own devices, iPhone, U-phone, we all fall down.
Helen was an old-fashioned like me own. But I'd leave home and race by school to see her teenage face, laced with a chain of braces, crisscrossing those far from flawless teeth like metal gates in random places. Do you want to meet her? Of course he does. Was the discourse of me two school buds, Barry and Stephen, as I had the daydream to appease me fancy. A mischievous face was engraved on me brain and me train of thought would wander off in Irish class. Fast forward to Thursday morning and Stephen arrives 10 minutes later, with 7 digits on a scrap of paper. You know that muffin the other end of Kulak that you gawk at? Yeah, well, you're dating her. You see, Stephen had seen her with two friends the other night and provided the one-sided guidance of how I was a nice guy, to which he replied, here's my number, tell him to text me sometime. And my palms already sweaty. The weight on my shoulders grew heavy with the passing seconds as the moment and hour finally beckoned. But you see, that's the problem with expectation. The pain of waiting generally tends to be 10 times greater than the payoff. But this was my moment. I was next. So I resigned to abide the rituals and take out my Nokia 3210 to send her a text. In a time of far free meteor to meteor, you type out a text and wait 10 minutes to send it to preserve the remains of your 5 euro credit. What's up? NMU? NM2? What time you off school? A girl beyond cool, a fool for her as soon as I knew that she fancied me too. That night, we toured Dublin in conversation, engraving our names in the condensation that invaded the windows of Subaquin. The street lights collided with the north side shopping centre signage, the glitter of her braces as she grinned. In the dark, we embarked on the shopping centre's car park, weaving in and out with the delivery lorries. I spotted an empty trolley. And I hopped in, pretending to be a baby. She was me mum. She pushed the trolley like a pram. The pair of us thought it was gas. Half romantic, half having a laugh. King and queen of the around land. Two kids cracking up with too much time on our hands. Well, you see, time is a funny thing that shifts and swings depending on the situation they're in. And although there's a lot more to say due to time restraint, let me put it this way. 9 years later, she lives 4 doors down with 2 kids for a lad that she doesn't know now.
Trying to suck the life from me through the warmth in my fingers. The colors beneath the patch of screen where my thumb lingers. To show me only what I wanna see, like a horse wearing blinkers. And try to sum up my worth as just another dull thinker. Try to quantify me in your sinkholes of data. And I'll send you running, scrambling like a ball to a batter. Hands open, trying to grasp the crux of the matter. Serve my friends in circles like their heads on a platter. You've been fishing in our streams of knowledge. How do you know him? Did you go to college? Are you at the gym? Have your shoes been polished? What are you drinking? Are your morals solid? Or in accordance with our policy, our sink or swim philosophy, drowning in the new blue sea, absorbing personality, you will never get to me, you will never get to me. Because if all your currents turn to whitewash, then I won't get swept. Asking me what's on my mind as though I forget. Reminding me it's walking time as though I'm your pet. Don't you know stalking's a crime? You go as far as you're let. Asking me for answers as though I'm the subject of some info-ruling dragon. Hoarding my subtext. And threatening to kill every impulse of instinct, every chime of free will. Preachers of conformity persecute my privacy, and they advertise to me what it is they must perceive as an insecurity. Hangmen of your honesty and killers of respect that they claim to protect, yet I cannot regret the time that I spent using you, for in its full context, you're the one still chasing me, and I'll make you sweat. Finish the night there. Roy hollers at me. Nice one.
Myself and Kieran are off to Coventry on Wednesday. Thanks to Paul. I was saying to Megan a while ago, I don't know what Kieran thinks, I haven't gone yet, but it's been an awesome trip so far. So I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, I wrote a poem for the trip to Coventry because when I hear Coventry, I think of an interview with Terry Hall from the Specials in around 1980. And I paraphrase here, and he said, Coventry's a shithole, nobody should go there. To be fair to know, like, it was the middle of a wild recession. And actually, I often thought that, I won't say the only difference, one of the big differences between that recession and the latest recession is that Cork, like a lot of other cities, were shitholes that time. They were manky dirty. And so for those of you who, like me, are young enough to remember that recession, that, you know, that you remember the feeling. For those of you who are too young to remember that recession, but remember the last recession, try and imagine the last recession with Cork City full of rubbish, the buildings falling down as well as being empty.
Get on with the poem, will
ya? Yeah. Probably Rab would say that, but anyway, this is called Spirit of 79.
Go on, Boba.
Every Friday night. Good job, Rab, not on the overlay tonight. Spirit of 79. Every Friday night and Saturday morning, when the young at heart come together to twist and crawl out on the streets, this dirty old town drones in hairspray, blank expression, bright lights and alcohol, the soul salvation of the young, the black, and the gifted. At 4 a.m., Jeanette, a skinhead girl, she's going, they're all out to get you, they're all out to get you, while bad boys make monkey man noises, their requiem for a black soul, over and over again. Why, you're wondering now, does this concrete jungle do nothing but drop pressure to get a job on the rat race? Why, you're wondering now, is free Nelson Mandela on my radio? Why does the government man believe our land of hope and glory can promise this ghost town better must come, when the dawning of a new era is such a long shot, when every day the young, the black, and the gifted hear the mirror in the bathroom whisper, I can't stand it, they're selling out your future, and prospects are mere calling cards for the government whose overture of it's up to you to get a job, what's that, is an embarrassment when our house has no money and tomorrow's dream is forever one step beyond tomorrow being just another grey day. So shut up, Mr. Government Man. You don't know like I know that in the middle of the night the shadow of fear is the only noise in this world. How the doors of my heart tighten up when the whine and grind of facing situations too much for one too young tells me my dream is in deep water. How when dawn arrives, I get busy doing nothing every day. Saturday night, Sunday morning, the lonely crowd on the streets again. This, believe me, is their dream. Running away from the everyday with a night on the tiles. Running away from situations too much for one too young. Running away from the madness of the mirror in the bathroom whispering, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I can't stand it.